Because that's our ever-loving Lord. And he's way more than enough for everything we need. This is what's exciting about Freedom Life Fellowship. Exciting for you too. He's already in our future. Because he lives, he's in our tomorrow. And we can face tomorrow with a lot of love, a lot of hope, a lot of faith. Because he is who he promised he is. And he wants to be that in your life and in your family. And you know what? In this church. And so we're so excited about him. I want to relate a scripture to you that kicks off this message. And this is very, very important to me. I'm telling you, the Lord worked this in my heart probably a few years ago. Just like this Freedom Life Fellowship. I get things ahead of time. Sometimes it takes years for it to transpire. Let me say, the Lord's worth waiting on. You're worth waiting on. And heaven would say, you're worth waiting on. And because I want to tell you, it's important to say yes to the Lord. And I hope you see that in this message today. Your yes is already a green light in heaven. He's already said yes to you. He's already said yes and amen to the promises that he has in his word for you. And so God's already saying yes. He's waiting on us to say yes. And sometimes we get things ahead of time and it takes a few years for it to come to fruition. But I want to tell you, that's just like the Lord to work it in us and through us. Amen? And a lot of times we're praying for the Lord to do something on the outside of us. Lord, do something for us. Lord, do something about this and about that. And he will and he wants to, but he wants to work a work in us first. Inside, then outside. And how exciting that is, because that's more than just an answer. That's him. That's we're being transformed into his glory. And I want to tell you, that's terrific. I want you to listen to Psalm 78:41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Have you ever thought about that? The great, mighty, powerful God. The all-amazing Father that we have. But yet it is possible for us to hinder him. To limit him. Some of the other versions bring out that this pained the Lord. This grieved the Lord. And so I want you to have a picture of a great, great Father that's loving you, wanting to love you with great vision, great purpose, great destiny, has great things planned for you. And by us limiting him, we grieve him and we pain him. Because he wants to do so much. But you know what limits God is no in our heart. When we say no in our heart, and if you go back and look at the verses before 41, you would see that in their heart, they said no to God. And with their mouth, they had lying lips. And so you know what it brings out? It brings out this, that in their with their mouth, they were saying, yes, God, we love you, God. We're for you, God. We love to be sheep in your pasture. But with their heart was far from the Lord. And so with their heart, they were saying no. And with their lips, they were saying yes. Well, we call that a liar. God calls that a liar. And I want to tell you, that's true. Do you think that could possibly happen today? Yes. And so this message is going to encourage us as a church and as your family, as an individual. God is unlimited when we say yes to him. When we say no to God, it limits God. It grieves him and pains him because he has so much more in mind than what we're walking in. Are you ready? This comes out of 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the wife of a son of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two sons to be his slaves. Now, this was a crisis. There was a relationship here. This man's husband had died, and he was one of the son of the prophets. Now, Elisha had school of the prophets. He had prophet schools. They were training prophets up. And I want to tell you, so he knew him, had a relationship with him, had ministered to him, and his wife came and said, you know what, he's died. And you know what? We were in debt. We're financially in debt. Now, nobody here is going to throw stones at this widow, right? Because I want to tell you, there's more than one form of debt. Financial debt can make you a slave. I'm not saying it's a great sin, but it is not God's best. But I want to tell you, you may have a financial crisis today. She had more than one crisis at her doorstep. Anybody ever had that? Well, this is where she was. Not only had her husband died, but they were in debt. And in that day, what they would do is come and take your sons, take your children, take you in order to pay for your debt. You'd have to serve 7 years. And so they were coming to take her sons away. So she was in double crisis. And this is what she said. Elisha, she come and told Elisha. She found Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God. And she told him, and this is what he said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Now, this was a redirecting question. In other words, why are you coming to me for? Why are you looking at me? And so there's a real question, because this comes up in our society big time. Who are you depending on? Are you depending, like in church life, are you depending on the under-shepherd to be your answer man? Are you depending on your personal shepherd, the Lord? That shows up in church life. Hey, we're in a society where, you know, everybody wants the government to do something. Hey, I want to tell you, greater than probably any time in history, are more people doubting and questioning the government. More people probably ever in history in our nation are doubting and questioning medical science even. But I want to tell you, who are you depending on? That's a very important question. Who are you depending on? In other words, he's redirecting her to the Lord. And that's what needs to happen with us. Okay, your personal crisis, your business crisis, your family crisis, who are you depending on? The Lord is my shepherd. That's what Psalm 23:1 says. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what? He's the one that feeds us, guides us, and shields us. He protects us. And the Bible says when the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack. Well, that answers that emphasis. Look to your personal shepherd first. Okay? Will he use people? Yes. Will he use church? Yes. Will he use medical science? Yes. But we need to look to the Lord first, and all the people said. And so this is what Elisha said. Tell me what you have for sale. What's of value in the house? And listen to her answer. She said, "Your handmaid has nothing." That's the first response. Your handmaid has nothing in the house, except a little jar of oil. Now, that oil is very, very important. I want to tell you, the Bible says that when you receive Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit himself, represented by oil, has been given to you as a down payment. Let's look at it in Ephesians 1:14. It says this, "The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance." The first fruits, the pledge, I love this, the foretaste. Look at this, the down payment on our heritage. Isn't that great? In other words, he's the down payment of everything else that God's done for us. He's the first. He's the first fruit. But there's so much more coming. He's the first fruit. In anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it. I want to tell you, the Lord didn't just give you promises in the Word. He gave you his word, and he gave you the Holy Spirit with it to help you possess those promises. For those promises to have your name on them. He wants that to be personal. He wants that promised land to be in your possession. That's what God wants for us, to the praise of his glory. And then he said, "Go around and borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Empty vessels," and look what he said, "and not a few." Now, I want to tell you, if you get this picture, because see, this is not in a book anywhere else. This is not a how to get out of debt book. This was something fresh from God. And the Lord has wisdom that we don't know of. You can't limit your life to human wisdom. We've got to have the wisdom of God. I love what happened with Solomon, because Solomon was at the place, God met with him, and Solomon said this. He said, I don't know how to go in and come out. I'm like a little child. I don't know how to be a king. I don't know how to go in and come out. I'm like a little child. That's humility. That's depending on God. That's seeking God. God loves it when we depend on him. That's a good definition of humility, is depending on him. God loves it when we do that. I want to tell you, that puts you, you know what God gave him when he gave him wisdom? He gave him a hearing heart. Man, that ought to encourage somebody. Because the Lord wants to give you wisdom. And according to what Jesus said, when we receive him, we have hearing ears as a part of being born again. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow the voice of another. And I want to tell you, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask. Because I want to give it. I want to give it in great measure. But it's important where your heart is. If your heart's being tossed to and fro, you can't expect to hear. And so it's very, very important. But this is what God wants. Listen, hey, she was told and her sons to go and grab vessels from around the neighborhood and bring them to the house. Now, I want to tell you, vessels are a beautiful picture. You know what? You're a picture of a vessel. I want to tell you, you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. We're called vessels. I want to announce something to you. You know it as well as I do. There are vessels here today that need the fresh oil, the overflow that David talked about when he said, my cup runneth over. We need him. Continually, we need him. I want to announce something to you. In your neighborhood, there are lots of empty vessels. In your family, there are empty vessels. All around us are empty vessels, and they need to be brought in. Man, what a picture that is. Amen? Believers need the private overflow for public blessing. I hope you catch this, because it can make a difference in your life. I want to tell you, it's real simple. Vessels out there have needs. Let's go find a need and meet it. Let's go find a hurt and heal it. Let's bring them into the house. The Lord can do a lot when we bring them in. And when you come in, verse 4, shut the door upon you and your sons, and then pour out the oil that you have into all those vessels, setting aside each one when it is full. Now, this did not make human sense. This was beyond human wisdom, okay? This has to do with God's multiplication system. Well, that's exciting, because that's how big our God is. That's what he loves to do. There's no substitute for intimacy with God. I want to tell you, it's of vital importance in your Jesus life, your journey, that you are inside your own house, inside your closet, so to speak. Jesus said, go into that secret place, and you spend time with him. I want to tell you, this was the master's pattern. The Bible says, as a matter of pattern, as a matter of custom, he would go away and spend time with Father. If it was great for Jesus, it's great for us. It's needed for us. It's a must for us. We must have intimacy with God. And so freedom life is receiving Jesus. Notice how I worked that in. Freedom life is receiving Jesus and allowing him to continually fill me until my cup runs over. I know a lot of churches, ministries are praying for revival for our nation, for the world. We need it. I want to tell you just a little something about revival that not everybody's going to agree with. Until there's a public overflow of revival. And when that happens, it's obvious. But until there's a public overflow of revival, we have a responsibility to make sure that we are in personal revival. That there's a personal cup running over in our heart. And when we look at responsibility, I'm going to kind of break this down a little bit. When we look at responsibility, it can be overwhelming. We can look at the needs. We can look at empty vessels. We can look at what little we seem to have, and it can be overwhelming compared to crisis. But I want to tell you, our responsibility needs to be put on the Lord. He said, bring your burdens unto me,
and I'll give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so I want to tell you, there's a big difference when we're bring our burden to him and lay it at his feet. And even the responsibility of our being filled and walking in the overflow and for revival, we need to place that on him. We don't bring revival, we receive it. Let me tell you about responsibility. It's our response to his ability. That makes a tremendous difference. We can be overwhelmed. We can be discouraged. We can be distressed about the major. But when we let Jesus be the major, the burden becomes the minor. And I want to tell you, it's our response saying yes to him in our heart, to his ability. That makes responsibility something he does in us and through us. The Holy Spirit is here as a deposit for us to receive the personal overflow. And that's not just for super saints. As a matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and let you know there's no such thing as super saints. Everybody kind of puts on the pantalones just like everybody else. I think there's one person here that claims to jump up in the air and land in them. But beside that person, I want to tell you, we have to receive. We're receivers, not achievers. Verse 5 says this, so she went from him. She shut the door upon herself and her sons, who brought her the vessels as she poured the oil. I want to tell you the greatest thing in this verse to me is that she came on the inside with her sons, and she did what God led her to do, what God said to do. She poured the oil. Now, I want to tell you, to pour the oil was an act of faith. It was a work of faith. She didn't have it all figured out ahead of time. Can you imagine this scene? I hope somebody like The Chosen does this scene. Because this is, I see this as very exciting. She took the little jar of oil that she had, and the house is filled with empty vessels. And she looks at her son, and she looks up to God, and she says, yes, yes to the Lord. And what doesn't make sense to the human mind, she operates by the Spirit, by saying yes to God. And she begins to pour what little oil, and the oil never stops pouring. Can you imagine the excitement in the room when a vessel fills up and she looks around with shouting and with laughter and with great joy, bring me another one. And the sun's light, and she begins to pour. And that big vessel from the little vessel fills up to overflow. And she says, another. And it became quite the party. Don't you know? Quite the party. When the boys saw the oil overflowing into many vessels, they saw their freedom. They saw their liberty. They saw their destiny. That's how great our God is. Hear God and do what he says. That needs to be on a bumper sticker somewhere. I want to tell you, that would solve a lot in Jesus' life. Meet with God. Hear God. Do what he says. Let God be God. Our obedience is not to earn something from God. I have to say that because in some circles it's pushed pretty hard. That you're blessed because you obey. And you got to obey to get it. And I want to tell you, that's wrong covenant. At one time, that lined up with old covenant. But we're in new covenant. And in new covenant, I want to give you some great news. Jesus has already won the yes for you. And so we're not trying to do a list of do's and don'ts in order to try to please God, in order to try to get something from God. God has already said yes to you through his son. His son has already won it for you. Everything God has for you, Jesus paid for. That's what grace is. It's been provided. Now I want to tell you, now there's still works of faith. You know what works of faith are? Works are doing not to get, but because we've received. By faith we've received, so we do. Okay? Hey, it's great hope because we have the hope of what God said and what God's doing, we do it. He's our desire. Not to talk him into something, but because he's already given something. We receive by faith and we practice it. You know what? That's what works of faith are. We put into action with our words and with our actions what God has said is ours. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word, why it's so important for us to learn and discover what all Jesus has paid for, so that we can say yes to his yes to his amen, and walk it out. We're receivers, not achievers. You know what? That's what love is. You know, that's what love is. You know what? We practice works of faith. We walk through words of hope because he has loved us. Because we are loved. Not to get loved, but because we are loved. Jesus made it real clear. He said, those that love me, do what I say. And so the real question is not whether God loves you, because it's already been proven he does. The real question is, do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, then you do what he says. It's a work of faith. Hey, we're great receivers, not achievers. And so look what happens here. When the vessels were all full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not a one left. And then, somebody say then, the oil stopped multiplying. I want to announce this. God does not stop the flow. Man does. When man says, that's enough, the supply stops. There's more supply than what we can receive. How much are we willing to receive? You say, now, Brother Tim, you're kind of stretching it. No, I'm not. Listen. When Jesus made fish tacos for thousands, possibly up to 15, 20,000 people, when Jesus made fish tacos for thousands, the fish tacos didn't stop coming from heaven until man said, we're filled. Well, let me give you another one. This is not brought out in every version. But I want to tell you, it's obvious in like the King James or Wild T. Young's. They get very, very specific. But I want to just say this to you. Jesus told Peter, when they were the multiplication of the fish into the nets. Do you remember that? The great harvest. When Jesus told Peter, go out a little ways and put down your nets, plural. Peter said, well, based on your word, I'm the fisherman. Want everybody to know that this is not my idea, but based on your word, I'll let down the net, singular. I want to tell you, he received a great harvest. But I want to tell you something, it could have been even greater. I want to tell you, I wonder how many times in our journey we've limited God. I wonder if in this season right now and the season to come, are we going to say limit to God? Are we going to put God in a box of limitation? Are we going to say no to God in some measure? Or are we going to say yes to God and let him be the factor? He's the plus factor. It's God multiplication math. And it's beautiful. And so then she came and told the man of God. He said, hey, go and sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your son live on the rest. Now I want to tell you, I'm going to just describe. And this is some Tim talk because I wasn't there. This is a little Tim talk. But I want to tell you something. I think it was the best oil that the oil man had ever seen in his life. And so when she carried a sample of this oil to him, and he looked at it, he studied it, he tasted it, he said, this is the best oil I've ever seen. And he said, where did you get this oil? She said, from God. He goes, okay, let's not tell everybody that, but I want all you got. And do you understand that he paid a higher price for oil than he had ever paid, because this was oil right out of heaven? Now look, I'm not stretching this too far, because at the Cana of Galilee, at that wedding, when the toastmaster tasted the wine at the end, toward the end of the wedding, he said, hey, you've broken protocol here. Usually they serve the best at the start of the wedding, and then after everybody's had a little bit too much, then they serve the poor stuff, because they can't tell the difference. But he said, but this is the best. You understand that that wine came right out of heaven. Now don't read too much into that. But I'm trying to tell you that it was of the greatest quality, because it was heavenly. I want to tell you, this oil was of the best quality because it was heavenly. I want to tell you, when we let God make the choice, when we say yes to his best, we experience the best of heaven. As it is in heaven, so shall it be in your home. As it is in heaven, so shall it be in your relationship. As it is in heaven, so shall it be in your business. As it is in heaven, so shall it be in your church. Somebody say amen. That's God's heart. He wants to give us his best if we'll leave the choice to him. Well, there's so much. Because in this marketplace, this oil man sold oil for a higher price than he had ever sold. But people in the marketplace that received this oil said and took home and said, this is the best oil we've ever had in our life. We want more of it. And so I'm here to tell you that your blessed life in the private of your life, your blessed life with him becomes great blessing in the marketplace. Your private life with him becomes great measure of the kingdom to the public. That's God's design. That's how God wants to multiply the kingdom. And so we need to be a good steward of the deposit of oil that God's put in us and allow him to cause our heart to run over. And in running over, look, this is the world's way, is to try to can all you can and set on the lid and just let it stay there. You know, I could say that in other ways. I'm trying not to. But I want to tell you, that's not kingdom way. Kingdom way is to be a good steward, not to set on the can and set on the can, but to sow it. That's God's way. It's not supposed to stay on the inside. I'm telling you, when you allow the Lord to love on you and minister to you, and your cup runneth over, listen to me, that light, the light of the kingdom in you, the Lord will not allow that to stay under a bushel. He'll put you on a hill so that that light can overflow to men. It's not something we do for ourselves. It's something God does for us. So she had a relationship with Elisha, but she was in a desperate situation. That's true for a lot of people inside the church and outside the church. Crisis come in this journey. We have Red Sea moments in this journey. God anticipates your needs before you even realize you have one. Now that needs to sink in a little bit. Because this woman had great crisis. But the Lord already had a plan. He whispered it to his prophet. But he already had his plan for her. God has his plan for you. Whenever you enter a crisis, no matter what the description of that crisis is, I want you to understand and know that your great father, he's a great, great father, he's already have an answer and a supply for you before you even realize you have a need. That's how big our God is. And guess what? He's already said yes to you having it. That's what Jesus paid for. And so it's very, very important now. Let me just back up just a second and say this. Don't look to man. No, there's a tendency to do that. Look to God. It's not the government. It's not your job. It's not your church. You got to look to Jesus first. Let God be first. Depending on Him, trusting in Him. Well, my crisis is health. Look to Dr. Jesus first. My problem's finances. Let Jesus be your banker. Trust in Him. Rely on Him. Well, I'm afraid with all that's happening. Let God be your protector. Let God be your blessing. Turn first to Him. Look to Him first. Look beyond your need and focus on Jesus, the great I am. He is the great I am, and that means that He is more than enough supply. He says, I am everything you need. I'm your personal shepherd. So what's in your hand? What's in your hand? I want to tell you what you do have. You have the deposit of the kingdom in you. But whatever's in your hand, you know what you need to do? Instead of calling it mine, or instead of calling it nothing, like she did, you need to give it to God. You need to call it God's. Hey, God asked Moses the same question. What is that in your hand? Well, it's just a stick. And it was just a stick till he gave it to God. But then it became God's authority for everything God wanted to do. It was God's yes. And so I'm telling you, your yes, His yes is in your heart. Surrender it to Him. Make it His oil. Hey, you've heard this before. Little is much when God's in it. You may look at yourself and say, I'm too little for God to use. God never made a dud. He made you, and He's got divine purpose for you. And He's not looking at your brains. He's not looking at your bank account. He's not even looking at your strength. You know what He sees? Your weaknesses. And it makes Him smile, because He'll come and use your weaknesses to show forth His glory and power on this earth. He'll use our weaknesses. That's what grace is. He'll come and fill the cup of our low weaknesses, and He will cause the world to see that He's real and that He's alive. So grace is more than enough supply. God anticipates the need and has provision before we realize we have one. Don't belittle what you have. Don't curse it. Bless it. And sow it. I'll tell this one story, and I got to finish. Let me tell you this. I was in Florida at a church, and I was sharing with the staff, and we walked out before Sunday morning, and people are starting to come in. It's a pretty large church. And I noticed at one door that a lot of people are waiting in line to get in. Other doors were available. And there was slow motion at this door, because the little doorkeeper was taking time to hug everybody, stop everybody and to hug everybody. But as I was watching it, I saw such joy, such love, such kingdom. And I asked the staff member, I said, what's the story here? Why don't they go through? He said, no. She's known as the happy hugger. I said, what's a happy hugger? He said she was the most depressed person we had ever met. She was so disturbed and so depressed that she couldn't function. Over time, we got her in the Word. We prayed and ministered to her. But it came time that it was important for her to sow what little she had. And so one of our staff assigned her to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, and to stand at a door and to minister love and joy and peace to everyone that comes in. And when she began to give what she needed, God multiplied it. It's God's miracle math. And she had become one of the most joyful, peaceful, loving people that you would ever meet, to such a point that when people came to church, they waited in line just to get a hug from the happy hugger. And the testimony was that when she hugged you, Jesus hugged you. So I want to tell you, what you have right now, you may not see as harvest, but I want to tell you, it's seed. And you know what? It's important to sow your seed. Her and her sons could have consumed the oil. She could have said no to God. No limits, God. It pains him and grieves him because he has so much more in store. But she said yes to God, and she poured the oil. Now, I want to tell you, it's real clear, and I'm finishing with this. Jesus gives definition and description about what Jesus' life looks like. And he's describing it in Luke, and I won't take time to turn to it. I'm just going to tell you, but it's for you later. It's in your notes. But you know what? We don't handle our money like the world does. Hey, he says in Luke 6:34, be a giver and not a taker. That's what love does. That's sowing into people. He says in Luke 6:35, to love your enemies. He says, love on those who don't love you back. Even the world loves those that love them back. But our source is the oil overflowing in our heart. Our life is not dependent on the acceptance or the smile of people. Hey, we honor the Lord because we've loved by Him. And so we're able to love those who don't love us back. That's pouring the oil. He says in verse 36, be merciful, even as your Father is. Be compassionate and be merciful. Don't hold aught against people. Don't count it. Don't add it up. Don't resist them. Don't give them cold shoulder. Be compassionate and merciful. That's pouring the oil. He says, don't be a judge. Don't judge. Don't pronounce guilt. Don't condemn people. Yes, they're wrong. Yes, they've done you wrong. Don't sing the done wrong song. You know what you do? You drop it. You let it go. You forgive them. That's pouring the oil. And he says in verse 38, and every church wants to use it for an offering, and it does work for money. But what he's been talking about is about ministering and loving on people. And he's saying, give it away. Give your oil away. Pour it out. And it'll be measured back to you in great measure to the overflow. Listen to the overflow. For with the measure you deal out, that same measure you use to bless others, it'll be measured back to you. What are you pouring? Kingdom life. Love. Peace. Joy. Hey. Many opportunities, mercy, kindness, love, forgiveness, money, yes. But God's miracle math takes place. When you sow, you reap what you sow. When you sow, you reap later than you sow. You're sowing into your own future. When you sow, you reap much more than you sow. That's our God. Let's bow for prayer right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have a big heart for us. Thank you that Jesus came that we might have everlasting life and abundant life. Thank you that you've placed within us the measure of oil. And the measure is more than enough overflow for everything we face in this life. Lord Jesus, thank you that as we humble ourselves before you and say yes to you, we don't deal with just enough. We deal with the more than enough supply that you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can look at you and look at our life and know that you are more than enough. You are the everlasting supply. Lord, we choose to not look at our lack. We choose to look at our supply. You're our supply. And you're more than enough for every relationship, every trouble, every trial, every situation. Lord, you're our health. You're our love life. Lord Jesus, we want to say yes to you and surrender to you in such a way that we become great receivers.
For your honor and glory, we give you praise. And all the people said, amen and amen. I want us to enjoy a song by the Beans.